Today we celebrate, we rejoice in the Lord's ascension to heaven. Today we celebrate the day when the Lord goes up from the disciples and is taken from their sight. Now we're all used to saying goodbye to people. We're used to having going away parties and saying goodbye and bidding farewell when somebody moves to another place, when they retire from a job. So saying goodbye is familiar to us. What exactly are we celebrating today on the Feast of the Ascension? How does the Lord going up into heaven, being taken from the disciples' sight and hidden by a cloud, how does it change our life? How does it change our experience, our understanding of our faith? Why does the Lord need to ascend? Why does he need to be taken from the disciples' sight in this manner? Why do the disciples doubt? Have they not seen the risen Lord? What are they doubting? And how does the Lord address their doubt? How does he respond to them? It seems at this moment in my homily that the ascension raises more questions than it answers. Think by comparison about some of the other moments in the life of Christ. The mystery is a little bit more obvious, and its meaning for our salvation is a little bit more obvious as well. The Annunciation. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary. She says yes. And Jesus is conceived in her womb. At the moment of the Annunciation, that's the moment of the incarnation. That's the moment that God becomes man. The birth of Jesus. Jesus is revealed to the shepherds, and then a few days later, we celebrate his revelation to the wise men. The Lord, who has become man, is revealed to the nations. We have the prophecy, the promise of salvation made known to all peoples. More importantly, the passion and death of our Lord. In the Lord's death, in that mystery, when Jesus, God and man, when Jesus dies on the cross, the whole work of our salvation is accomplished. Why do we celebrate so much the crucifixion? Why are crucifixes always on the church? Because even if the Lord had not revealed himself to the disciples in the resurrection, our total salvation would have been accomplished. Which brings us then to the resurrection. What does that do for us? It gives us hope that we too will rise from the dead. Our salvation is accomplished at the Passion. The joys are made known to us in the resurrection. The Passion does all the work, and the resurrection makes known to us what exactly happened. Looking ahead to Pentecost, we will celebrate the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit given to the disciples to carry out what Jesus asked them to do, to baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But what is it that we celebrate today? What is this Feast of Ascension? A long time ago, when they were always using the Easter candle, a long time ago, the Easter candle would be snuffed today. It would be put out. And it would be left off until Pentecost, when it would be relighted. And what that symbolized to the people who came into the church is the expectation, the waiting for what is supposed to come next. You know that term, waiting with bated breath? Deep breath in and you just wait. That's what starts at the ascension. And then finally, now we know what's supposed to happen. When? At Pentecost. So it seems like the Feast of Ascension is a celebration of going away. Usually that's a sad occasion, right? At least it should be. We could call it the celebration, if you want to call it a celebration, of separation anxiety. It seems to arouse more distress than to give us hope for joy, at least as I've presented it so far. So what does the Lord do? Why is it that we should celebrate the ascension with joy and rejoicing if it's the moment when the Lord is taken from us? The words of Jesus, as St. Thomas says, the words of Jesus, of course, give us the answer. Let's begin with the doubt of the disciples. What does it mean that they're doubting? Well, doubt, as we know, often means somebody is questioning the truth. Doubt suggests that there is a lack of faith. But doubt doesn't need to be interpreted in that strong, that dramatic a fashion. Doubt can also mean simply that a person has questions. Doubt can mean that a person is perplexed, confused, doesn't understand. And so the disciples worship, but they doubt. We're used to the disciples being confused, being perplexed, not understanding. Jesus has to tell the disciples in the Last Supper discourse in the Gospel of John, Jesus has to tell the disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. Philip, who doesn't understand, none of the disciples really understand at that point, Philip says, show us the Father. And Jesus says to him, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The disciples have questions. They're perplexed. They're confused. They don't quite get it. And Jesus has told them, I go to the Father and you will see me no more. He says to them, later I will speak to you plainly and no longer in figures. But still they are perplexed. Still they have questions. And so, as St. Thomas says, the Lord, the next words that he says are words that are intended to respond to their doubt. They doubt, and what does the Lord say? All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is God and man. But Jesus veils his divinity in the flesh during the time of his ministry on earth. He has the knowledge of God. He has the beatific vision in his humanity. So St. Thomas clearly says. But the power of God, that's veiled in his humanity. It's not made known. Now, after the resurrection, the power of God, the omnipotent power of God himself, is revealed through the humanity of Christ. That's part of what we celebrate then at the Ascension, the revelation of the omnipotent power of God. How does Jesus reveal that power? He reveals that power by giving it away. And that's a really big deal. I'll give you an example, a practical example from church stuff. If Father Jerome wants me to do a wedding, he'll call me up and he'll say, hey, Father John, can you come out and do a wedding? And I'll say, yeah, sure. And I'll say, do I have your permission? Do I have delegation? Yes, you have delegation. I'm not allowed to do a wedding in this church because I'm from Oakland. I'm not allowed to do a wedding in this church. I don't have the power unless the pastor gives it to me. Okay, so Father Jerome says, okay, Father John, you can do the wedding. Okay, great. I have the power. Well, guess what? Father Jerome's on vacation. I get sick. We need somebody else to fill in. I only have the power to do the wedding. I can't give that power away. I can't call up Father Michael Hurley in San Francisco and say, hey, Father Jerome's gone. I'm sick. You do the wedding. My power is partial. It's only limited to me. It can't be given away. God is omnipotent. The power that Jesus has to preach the good news, the power that Jesus has to effect changes in human hearts, the power that Jesus has to heal the sick, to cure the crippled, to drive out demons and raise the dead, Jesus is God. He is omnipotent. He can give that power to another. And he gives that power to his disciples. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. So what do we celebrate now on the Feast of the Annunciation? We celebrate the manifestation of the omnipotent power of God. And in Jesus' departure from this earth, we celebrate something really important as well. As he gives to his disciples the power to preach the gospel for the salvation of souls, we celebrate the responsibility that they take for the growth of the church. The mission of the church will continue even though Christ is not physically present among them. The mission of the church continues with us today, even though Christ is not present before us here now in the flesh. He remains present with us by his power, by his grace. He remains present with us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist. And he remains with us in our preaching as we go out into the world, into our daily lives, to share with others the good news of what the Lord has done for us. God has loved us. And our mission as Christians is to share that experience of God's love and forgiveness with others. People ask me a lot about forgiveness. I'm trying to forgive, but I can't do it. And if I ask them to describe it, they'll say, you know, I say I've forgiven the person, I pray for the person, and my stomach is still tied up in knots every time I think of them, and I'm filled with distress, and I don't want to think about them at all. So, you know what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is wanting what's good for the other person. What's good for the other person is to be able to go to heaven. And so you can say that you've forgiven the person if you want them to go to heaven and you're willing to help them get there. How do you help them get there? By praying for them. So the short version is, if you can pray that the person goes to heaven, you can know that you have forgiven that person. Now, important clarification. Somebody once misunderstood me and they thought that the person gets to go to heaven with a free pass without any change of heart. That's not what I'm saying. When we pray that the person goes to heaven, what we're praying for is that they undergo a real transformative conversion of heart where they have sorrow for their sins, they go to confession, they seek to make amends, to make up for the wrong that they have done, and so put themselves in the good graces of God and therefore merit to be taken up into the kingdom of heaven. So when we say pray that the person goes to heaven, what we mean by that is we're praying that they have a total transformative conversion of heart. If we can pray that the person goes to heaven, if we can pray that they have that receptiveness of God's grace, then we really can say we have forgiven them. Why is forgiveness so important? Because forgiveness is the first way in the order of time that we know of God's love for us. Forgiveness is the first way in the order of time that we show God's love to others. When somebody has wronged us and we can say, I forgive you, and they say, how can you forgive me? I've done so much wrong to you. I've been such an annoying pest, whatever level it might be. And we can say, I can forgive you because God has first forgiven me. We are proclaiming the gospel. We are making known to the nations the good news of the salvation the Lord has given to us, the good news of the love that the Lord has shown to us, and we are saying to others, that love is available, that salvation, that forgiveness is available for you as well. Open your heart to welcome in the Lord Jesus. Open your heart to welcome in the Holy Spirit with his grace and his forgiveness. What do we celebrate today? We celebrate the commission to the disciples to continue the ministry of Jesus. We go forth from this church today to continue that mission ourselves, to make known to all the nations the salvation, the forgiveness, the love that God has shown to us. Truly a day to rejoice, truly a day to celebrate the mystery of the Annunciation, of God's power, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness.